You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are finally back to talk about The Walking Dead, colon, The Ones Who Live on AMC and AMC Plus. This was the Rick and Michonne show, which was formerly the Rick Grimes movies. Do you remember way back when they were talking about that's what was happening with all of this? And then it died, and then it came back, and then kind of like a zombie, and then it died again, and then it's going to be a show, and we don't know what the show is going to be called, and it's kind of this, and now it's this, and here we are. There are, I think, only 6 episodes, I think. So we shall see. I have no idea what the actual, I have a general feeling of what the story of this is. But I can't say for sure, and I don't know if this is supposed to go on for more than one season. I probably should have looked into that. You know how professional we are here on Cinema Geekly.
We just want to leave it up, you know, as a surprise for ourselves.
Yeah. We don't want to know. You know, we want to, you know, we want to know maybe later, but not right now. I think as of right now, there is no confirmation. So take that as you know, as you will. All right. The first episode, by the way, is called Years. And I love everything about the production on this episode. Mm-hmm. Number one, it was directed by Bert and Bertie, which are... this is Amber Finlinson and Katie Elwood, collectively known as Bert and Bertie, British film and television directors. They also did a lot of episodes for Hawkeye as well. So there's that. But the story was written by Scott Gimple. He writes a lot of The Walking Dead stuff, obviously. But also this particular episode was co-written by Denai Guerra? Garia? I can never pronounce her last name.
Michonne's character.
Michonne. And Andrew Lincoln, whose British voice always stuns me when I hear it. Because he does this gruff American accent.
He does.
And when he talks, it's not a gruff English accent. It's like a very light British accent. Yes. Like, it doesn't look like it belongs to him.
It's a very nice accent.
Yeah, it's so strange to me. I'm like, don't stop that. Don't talk like, can you just talk in character until, like when they do the behind the scenes stuff? Anyway, let's talk about what happens in episode 1. 5 years after being taken to the CRM, Rick Grimes, by the way, people forgetting the CRM, I forget what it stands for, just like we always forget what it stands for. I'm sure we're not real Walking Dead fans because we don't remember what it stands for, but I don't remember what it stands for. Rick Grimes has...
Oh, I found it. Civic Republic Military.
Yep. That's it. We've seen pieces of them in the regular Walking Dead. We've seen pieces of them in that show that I can't remember the name of with the kids in it. And I think it's kind of mentioned... in this episode, at least in the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, people are like, hey, we didn't forget about that show. We're mentioning it here. Rick Grimes has tried unsuccessfully 4 times to escape, including sending a message in a bottle to Michonne along with his belongings on one occasion and chopping off his own hand in another. Rick is assigned as a co-signee, someone who spends 6 years doing work on the outskirts of Philadelphia, now the Civic Republic, before being allowed into the city. Rick dreams of a regular life with Michonne and eventually accepts an offer from Lieutenant Colonel Donald Okafor to join the CRM. Okafor reveals that he's helped the CRM, then the Pennsylvania National Guard, save the city from being napalmed at the cost of his own wife, and attempts to recruit Rick and Pearl Thorne into his plan to change the CRM from the inside. After another failed escape attempt and the destruction of Omaha, which, by the way, if people remember, the CRM's logo is like these three rings representing the three cities. One of them is Omaha, and it has fallen, as we witnessed in The Walking Dead, colon, that show I can't remember the name of. Rick finally accepts, I'm just a fake Walking Dead fan, Aurora. I don't really care about this show. I don't remember anyone's names, clearly. I'm just trying to get ahead.
It's a lot to remember.
I'm just trying to get ahead of all of the hate tweets, Aurora, that's all. Rick finally accepts his new life and position as a commander in the CRM forward operating base. Recalling the story from his childhood, Rick agrees to join Okafor's plan. Just before their helicopter is shot down, killing Okafor and his men, the attacker proves to be Michonne, who is reunited with Rick for the first time in years. And reading that felt like a disservice to the episode that I watched, because I thought the episode was so much better than how that reads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
I thought this was excellent. I was... So there is a warning. There's a warning before this episode about anyone who may be triggered by suicidal ideation or acts of suicide, that sort of stuff. I thought I was prepared. Usually if somebody gives me a warning, I'll be like, okay, like I expect something to happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to steel myself. I'll be okay. And I suffered greatly watching this episode.
Oh, no.
This was not an easy one. I did not expect for it to be such a...
It was heavy.
It was a heavy and...
It was heavy. Yep.
In some ways, awfully relatable way. Not that I've ever been technically held captive by a post-apocalyptic government that I can't escape from, but you know, that's a metaphor for other things that I can't escape from.
It was definitely a metaphor this whole episode.
Yes. Well, for us, not for Rick. Yeah. For Rick, it was really happening to him in this television show. But what they dive into is his, and they really hammer home his devotion to Michonne and his family, and getting back to his daughter and his son, and his attempts at leaving. I mean, you know, he chopped off his own hand because they had him on a leash, essentially. He chopped off his own hand in order to escape.
And he threw a bottle with a message to the ocean, which I feel like that's such a
such stretch. A long shot. Like, what are the odds? Hey,
what? Yeah. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen in this show.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But if you put like a message in a bottle now with the Earth fully populated, the odds of somebody finding that are so small. You know, now you do that there in a world where like there's way, way, way less humans.
Yeah.
Like, but there's no way. But I get his desperation.
Yeah, and there's that moment that I don't remember his name, but the guy, like the leader that was kind of like training Rick.
He, Okafor.
At one point he said, you know, Michonne is a very unusual name. So it's, you know, you can ask around and you'll find her.
Yeah.
And I can see that also maybe like being the thought process of the message in the bottle, you know, Michonne. Is that an unusual name? Maybe someone will...
We'll know find
what to do.
So he spends all of this time. He sort of plays sort of like a long game too to try to escape, and he's planning to do it out on this mission. But then him and his partner Pearl, I think they mentioned her name is, they, you know, he's about to escape when he spots a kid by a whole bunch of walkers, and it's Rick. So he has to save them, and ends up going back and just lives his life there. But it is a it is like a really isolated and lonely life. So the scene warranting the warning is just him sitting in his room. And this place, by the way, is more of, and we've said this before, but you know, it's, we kind of saw this in like the last season or seasons of The Walking Dead. It's like, oh wow, they've got like kind of a city, you know, wow, sort of like a real place. And we felt like we've seen places kind of like this before, but wow, it's so much better. No. Philadelphia is, I mean, it's like Philadelphia from maybe like the 1980s. But it's, you know, he has a working TV in his room. They have news broadcasts there still.
There's a point where I saw them like with laptops.
Yeah, there's wind turbines for electric. And with, for all intents and purposes, it seems like it's possible they were able to sort of maybe snow globe the world as it was before, just in this pocket. They're able to sort of maintain what was there. And, but he is isolated. He's in this apartment. He is by himself. And he's tried to escape. He can't, no matter what he does. He's written Michonne letters like every day that she's never going to get to read. And he decides one night he's just going to end it. I think he has like a shard of glass and he like digs into his neck. And something stops him from doing it. I'm not sure why he decides.
Yeah, it's not clear.
Why he really doesn't want to. I mean, other than the fact that it's a really difficult thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
In the first place. But he came really close. And super tough to watch. And he decides to go on. And I think maybe the idea is maybe he justifies it to himself by thinking maybe he can do good from within here and make the world a better place for Michonne. And I think it is like one of the, in one of the voices in his, like one of the voiceovers that he does, I think he says like, I'm going to do the best I can to make sure the world is good for you, even though you'll never know I did it. That sort of stuff. And they're out on this, the ending of this, like he, in here, it just says, their helicopter shut down, killing Okafor. No.
No, that was
insane. So they're flying their helicopter. Rick is piloting this Black Hawk or whatever, and Okafor is co-piloting with him. And then there's just this sort of like whistle and like this, I don't know if it's a bullet or a,
no, it's like a
little tiny missile, like
it's a like little, a device, it's not a bullet, it's like a device,
yeah, it's like something. A little, it's like a, it's a projectile cylinder.
yeah
and it flies through the window and like goes right into Okafor's chest, and there's just like a big hole, he's bleeding from his mouth, and I'm like, oh dude, what? And like Rick is just talking, and then Okafor just explodes. He just blows up and he's splattered everywhere. I'm like, holy shit, what is happening? And that's, you know, that's when the chopper goes down and Michonne, that's when Michonne shows up. I thought that was a great reveal. And it looks like the next episode is the story from her perspective, from when she left Walking Dead up until now. So I feel like that'll be, so we're going to do two episodes of sort of setting up where things, how they got to where they are at the end of this episode, which I'm all for, because there's a lot of time to sort of, you know, there's a lot of time to sort of account for here. There is that. But I thought this was, you know, if you care about the Rick Grimes character, I mean, Andrew Lincoln, I thought, was really good in this episode.
Oh, he's always so good.
Yeah, I thought he was he was excellent in here. And I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was a really great start. What were your thoughts about episode one?
I agree. I liked it. And honestly, I did not realize how much I missed this character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is such a great leader.
Yeah.
And I missed that. I miss his character a lot. So it was nice to see, like, you know, there. And I think that, what's the name? Was it Esteban? The friend that he had?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one who talked him out on the... on the bench overlooking the city.
I think he even mentions this. Like, there's like that classic Rick Grimes scowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he referred to it at some point, and I'm like, yes, I missed that.
Yeah.
And I really like the setup. I was cautiously optimistic on this because of, you know, all the things that happened. Like, first it was going to be a movie, now it's a show. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty, so I was kind of like, where is this going? But I really like how they started it. And I just want to talk about how amazing Michonne's outfit was.
Yeah, what a look she had.
Not only, like, when at the end she looked like a complete badass, which it kind of, in a way, reminded me of the first time she showed up on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time she shows up, she has a samurai sword. She has the two zombies, you know, next to her in chains. Like, it was a very impactful first impression.
Yeah.
And then we see her at the end of this episode, and she's, like, in this gear. I don't even know how to describe it. It just looks so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she looked amazing. So there's a couple of... moments in the episode where Rick is dreaming and he's having conversations with her in a park.
Yeah, kind of like in a world that isn't this one, like the old world.
Right, right. And she looked amazing on those dreams.
Right?
Yes.
The funny thing is Rick always kind of looks like Rick, sort of.
Yes, yes.
But Michonne was just like princess.
Oh, she looks amazing. Yeah.
But that speaks about, like, you know, in his dreams, like, this is how he sees the woman he loves.
Exactly. So, yeah, I was really happy with this first episode.
Yeah, me too. I love those dreams. I thought those were great and sad, obviously, because, you know, he always wakes up and it wasn't real. And he wants it to be, but in some ways... that's almost its own punishment, kind of having this really lovely dream and waking up and having it taken away from you by being in this crappy hellscape. It's not the best. And by the way, that show that I couldn't remember the name of is The Walking Dead : World Beyond.
World Beyond. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that, everybody who worked on The World Beyond. I don't think you and I ever finished watching that show. And the completionist in me...
Oh my God, I don't think we did.
No. The completionist in me really wants to finish it because now I feel like I'm missing some stuff, possibly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see. Also, he was only in here for a second, but I really liked Terry O'Quinn's scene as Major General Beale.
Oh yeah, that was a good scene.
Sat down with Rick in the park bench and was kind of asking him if Okafor is up to anything. I really loved it because he was like, look, I'm going to ask you this question and I don't expect you to answer it. And if you do answer it, I don't expect you to tell me the truth, but I'm going to ask you and then I'm just going to look in your eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, is Okafor up to nothing? Like, or is Okafor up to something? And Rick tries really hard to not give anything away. And then he and Beale both say no at the same time.
Yeah. But I feel like that takes such amazing acting skill because I'm watching it, right? And I see his face and I'm like, dude, you're lying.
Yeah.
You can tell in his eyes that he's lying, but he's trying very hard to not show it.
Yeah.
Like, that takes a lot of skill.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To pull off that face.
Yeah. 100% for sure. Anyway. Any final thoughts on episode one? Because I have another piece of news about the show that I want to talk about, but after we give final thoughts.
Okay. I'm excited. I wasn't sure if I was going to be. But now I'm bored for this show, so I hope that it continues to get good. And I gave this episode a 4.5.
Ooh. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I gave this episode a 4.25. I was a little behind you, but I wanted to hold back a little bit because I had a good feeling coming out of this. I feel like this is going to be a good show, but it really is going to depend on what it's about. Mostly, I feel like it's just going to be about Rick and Michonne trying to get back to their family with the CRM on their tail, because they're going to be going after Michonne because of what she did to them, to the CRM, to their men, their property. I have a feeling they're going to be going after that. But now that, and Rick was resigned to his fate, but now that he's not, he's just going to go with her and back to his family because this is what he's wanted. So they're both going to be running from them. And I'm very curious as to how this is all going to play out. I will say this, it's not terribly surprising, but it is kind of sad that all this time, how beloved Rick Grimes was, how popular this show once was, or The Walking Dead once was, the viewership for this show came in and it is under 1 million viewers, which was stunning to me. It's like, it's not way under, it's like 896,000, which isn't terrible for cable TV on Sunday these days, because the television business has changed so drastically in the last several years. So maybe this number isn't even all that bad, but it's a shame because I feel like there's a lot of Walking Dead fans that have probably moved on from the franchise that I think would like this, but they would probably feel lost stepping into this. There's a lot of stuff.
Especially if you didn't see like any of the spinoffs before this, you
would
definitely be lost.
Yeah, for sure. But I feel like it's worth jumping in. I don't know. I thought this was a well-made episode. It's got me excited, and I'm definitely looking forward to the next episode. So,
and I feel like I say this every time we start a new Walking Dead episode, but the same thing happened again, where I'm watching this episode and my poor husband comes in the room and he's like, "Wait, what? Didn't this end?" And I'm like, "No, there's a news," and I have to explain the whole thing. There's a new spinoff.
It's
with he follows freaking Michonne, and he's like, "What?" So maybe there's, you know, people feeling that way too, that they're like, "Oh, another one."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm optimistic for the future of the show.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can't wait to see more. But in the meantime, everybody, you can head on over to cinemageekly.com to check out the archives of this show. You can catch up on, what was the last one we did? Daryl? The Daryl Dixon Show?
Daryl, yeah.
You should definitely go catch up on that if you haven't, because it was a great series. So you can go do that. And this is a listener-supported podcast. So if you like what you hear, there's some ways you can help out if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly. A few people have signed up in the last month, and that is greatly appreciated. We also have a merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Audible. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us to hear us talk about more of The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, episode 2, called Gone.